called the Monday Morning Prayer, and I want us to start doing this. It will make a big impact in your life if you'll do simply this. So I'm going to ask they put up that Monday Morning Prayer. So this is what I'm asking you to do as a church. And you can write this down right now, or we're going to be putting it in the bulletin. Purpose of this, we want to be a church that's reaching out. We want to reach out to others. And last week I preached on the Great Commission, to go you therefore. So this verse, this is not the prayer, by the way, this is the verse. Morning by morning, O Lord, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation, Psalm 5:3. And here's the prayer. Place someone in my path today. I'm asking you to start praying this every Monday morning. I know Monday starts a whole new week and all that, and going back to school, going back to work. But if you'll pray this prayer, place someone in my path today, put someone on my heart today. Give me boldness to share the gospel in Jesus' name, amen. Now, that's a simple prayer. Place someone in my path today. Put someone on my heart today. Give me boldness to share the gospel in Jesus' name, amen. I promise you, on the authority of this book, God will hear that prayer. He will. We're going to talk about today what is bound in heaven is bound on earth. What's loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. Well, what that means is this. What's already been established in heaven can be established on earth. What's already loosed in heaven can be loosed on earth. And I'm going to talk about something very, very important today. And I want you to listen very carefully to me. Because somehow we've got in our mind that we tell God what to do. And folks, you don't tell God what to do. Hello? Amen. He's not your errand boy. He's not your water boy. And you don't give God, the Holy Spirit, or Jesus permission to do anything. They're God. And we're going to deal with that today in talking about the keys of kingdom authority. And I want to be very clear to you, and I'll say this again and again this morning, that I'm talking two different things now. Listen, I'm going to give you the keys of kingdom authority, but I'm also going to deal with the keys of the kingdom of heaven, where he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Two different things, and I'm going to share that with you. So take your Bibles, Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Matthew 16:16. Last week we said this, the book of Matthew is presenting Jesus Christ as king. And he is king, so let's all stand in reverence to the king as we read his word today. Matthew 16:16. King Jesus said this in response to what Peter said. Jesus is asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? And Simon Peter spoke up with one of the most profound statements that man has ever uttered. Listen to this. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm telling you, friend, right there, we're going to camp out there a minute. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit to be here today to anoint us all, because these verses are often taken out of context. They're misinterpreted, and there are many people confused. I pray, God, that we would understand all confusion comes from the enemy. God, you are God of order, and you told us to rightly divide the word of truth. And that's my prayer in Jesus' name now, that you would anoint me afresh and anew, that the word of God will be rightly divided for your glory and honor and for the edifying of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I read this story about this man that he always dreamed of going on a cruise. Man, he wanted to go on a cruise so bad, and he started saving up his money. And he saved his money. By the way, we all do what we want to do, and he saved up enough money to go on this cruise. Put his pennies, his nickels, his dimes, his quarters together. He saved enough money to go on this cruise, and he bought his ticket. And this trip was a three-week trip. This was way back years ago. He took this cruise line from Europe to America. After buying the ticket, he only had enough money to buy cheese and crackers. And so he took a big suitcase because he knew that he didn't have enough money
to eat on. So he took the what money else he could raise, and he bought cheese and crackers, put in his big suitcase. And so he's on this big cruise liner, you know, and he's sitting there, and he's eating his cheese and crackers, and he's smelling the food from the kitchen and from the dining hall. And he looks through the windows, and he sees the people in there eating, and they're enjoying themselves. They're laughing, and they're stuffing themselves. Many of them he hears coming out the dining room doors saying, "Boy, I'm stuffed." And he's eating cheese and crackers. He thought, man, this is tough. For 3 weeks, he ate cheese and crackers. Well, at the end of the cruise, one of the cruise liner officers came up to him and said, "Sir, I want to ask you a question." He said, "Did we do something to disappoint you on this cruise?" He says, "Well, no, not as I know of. I've enjoyed the cruise." He said, I've suffered from, you know, not eating like I would normally eat, but I understood I had to pay to go on this cruise. That's all I could pay for was the ticket." And the cruise liner officer said, "Sir, I am so sorry. You've been misinformed. Your ticket included all meals. And you didn't have to sit outside the dining room smelling all the good food. You paid for that food. And you could have enjoyed it all the time." When I read that, I thought of the church. Because many times we choose, it's our choice, to eat cheese and crackers. When God has given us the riches of His Word, we have great truth here, and we have what the Bible calls kingdom authority. But this man chose not to use the complete authority of the ticket he purchased, right? I mean, he purchased a ticket that gave him the right not only to be on the cruise ship, but to be in the dining hall. If you've ever been on a cruise, they got some good food. You know, and the neat thing about a cruise is that everything is inclusive. It includes it all. And this man didn't know that. I'm afraid a lot of God's people just don't know who and what they have in Christ. So what I want to give you today is this understanding. I'm still at the point, and I'm going, by the way, we're going somewhere big with kingdom authority. We ain't got there yet. We're just trying to define it right now. And if you don't take kingdom authority over your life, listen to me carefully. The kingdom of darkness will. Someone will have authority in your life. It's either going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, King Jesus, or it's going to be King Satan, or it's going to be King Self. And you know, you choose, right? Whether you bow down to this Lord and allow Him to be the Lord of your life. Authority comes from the office. Power comes from the person. A football player can be big and furious and very strong. I like watching football. The only man on the football field without a uniform and pads, armed with just a whistle, the little guy, he's the one with the authority. He can stop a play. He can send players to the locker room. Or as I watched a game yesterday, Alabama, I couldn't believe this. The coach was fined by one of the umpires because his team was stepping too much in bounds. I'm telling you, friend, that little guy, he can be a small little fella with that whistle. He's the one with the authority. He has the authority to tell those great big old 275, 300-pound football players where to go. I mean, he can do anything. He has the authority. What if you and I would learn who we are in Christ? And so I'm dealing with this today so you'll understand. We must be conscientiously, conscientiously live under this kind of authority because God's given it to us in Jesus. And it must be all the time, not just once in a while. This power, if it was released in the body of Christ, we would be a mighty army for the glory of God. So we're going to go back now and think about where we've been and talking about ID as Peter makes a confession of faith of the identification. That's the first point, the identification of who Jesus is. And Simon Peter, verse 16, answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who you say Jesus is will determine everything about how you follow Him. Once you know who Jesus is, then you proclaim and you follow Jesus confidently. You're concerned about sharing your faith? Well, if you know who Jesus is, you have no problem with sharing your faith. Are y'all listening to me? Don't go to sleep on me. You need to understand something this morning, that we are identified with Jesus Christ. You are called a Christian, right? Well, that means you are a little Christ, and he lives in you. So we're to identify with him. Now, I'm going somewhere today. I'm going to talk about, and I'll go ahead and tell you what they are. The keys of the kingdom of heaven are always faith and atonement. And we're going to talk about faith and atonement. But the keys of the kingdom, I want you to understand something. Last week I said this. The source of kingdom authority is Jesus Christ. Here's the identification. Here's the key. Simon Peter answered, and he said, "Thou art the Christ." Christ in the Greek means anointed one. It is equivalent to the word Messiah in Hebrew. So to be the Christ and the Messiah is to be the anointed of God. Jesus is the anointed. He is the key to kingdom authority. A key is a badge of authority. A kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven that he's mentioned here is not heaven, for no man on earth carries the keys to heaven. Jesus is the key to the door to heaven, and the Bible says he's the door, and Jesus is what you get on the other side of the door. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, Jesus is the key to the door. The person with the key has the authority, right? To unlock, to lock. So keys speak of authority. But it's interesting, the Bible says that Jesus is the door, okay? And it's interesting, he's what you find on the other side of the door. I'm just trying to make it extra clear to you that the reason you have this authority is because you know the key. The key is Christ. You got that? He's the key, but he's also the keeper. The Son, he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son." The Son is the one who died on the cross. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus, the Son, said, "What the Father hath given to me, no man can pluck from my hand." He said, "I hold the key. I hold the key to life and death. I hold the key to heaven." It's not Peter. Peter had his faults. No. Peter don't have the key to heaven. Only Jesus has the key to heaven. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to my Father but by me." But Jesus said, and by the way, this is important for you, Christian, because if he's the keeper of the key, then he can keep you. Okay? "What the Father hath given to me, no man can pluck from my hand." Our King lives to rule and reign for all eternity. And let me tell you something, he knows what he's doing. He came to set the captive free. Third of all, I got to talk real quickly about the King, because he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of" who? "The living God." And our God is King. Jesus made it clear last week in the Great Commission. He said, "All power is given unto me." I'm telling you something. King Jesus is the King. God is the King here. I want you to understand the living God. You know why Peter said what he said? He was contrasting the lifeless pagan gods, the lifeless pagan deities. Our King lives. I said, our King lives. I said, our King lives. And he lives to rule and to reign. Amen. That's who our King is. King Jesus rules and reigns. You say, "Well, I don't see him ruling and reigning in my life." Then that's your problem, not his. You see, God's still on the throne, whether you recognize it or not. You say, "Well, the people in Houston probably don't feel like God's on the throne." Let me tell you something. Whether you feel like it or not, God's on his throne. You say, "Well, preacher, there's things going on in my life I'm upset about. In fact, I'm mad about. And I just don't see the Lord working in my life." Well, let me ask you something. Is the problem God or you? It's not God. If things aren't going your way, maybe it's because you're King and Jesus is not. Because where he rules and reigns, let me tell you something. I believe all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. But that's for the ones who are willing to allow him rule and reign. You do have a choice. Jesus Christ is King, whether you make him King or not. You bow down to him. You recognize his authority over you. And when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and you worship him and you give him your all and you humble yourself before a mighty King, what does that mighty King do? But he blesses you. He honors you. And he says, "Get up on your feet now. Your redemption draweth nigh." I'm telling you something. The keys to the kingdom is this. Jesus is the key. He is. We need to understand identification. Peter got it. Of all disciples, Peter got it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, what a powerful statement. That is what this church is built upon. Do you understand that? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want to take you to another level. If this church exists for any other reason, Jesus is not king here. We are. It's not his church. It's my church. It's your church. In fact, oftentimes we make church about us. Well, they didn't sing my kind of song today. It sure is cold in there. It sure is hot in there. That preacher preaches too long. He preaches too short. He's too loud. He's too soft. They won't ever say that about me. But anyway. You know what? I've decided a long time ago in ministry, if you seek to please man, you cannot please God. But if you please God, it should be pleasing to man. But it's not. It's not. In fact, I've learned this. If you please God with your life, you're probably going to have some people mad at you. Yeah. And if you try to be a friend with the world, the Bible says you're an enemy of God. Folks, you can't have it both ways. You got to just make up your mind. Is he king?
Amen.
Or are you king? If self is on the cross, then Jesus is on the throne of your life. If Jesus is still on the cross in your life, then self is still on the throne. Now, he's been crucified. It's finished. It's done. And that's why I love saying, I don't know, it's just like the Holy Spirit just, oh, every time I say, oh, King Jesus. 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 And where Jesus Christ is king, I feel like having a spell. Amen? I mean, I want to identify with my king. I'm so proud. I'm a child of the king. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have got the blood, his red, ruby, royal blood in my veins. And I can't let the devil rob me of my joy. I've got the joy of the Lord that is my strength. And you can walk around in your self-pity and put self on the throne of your life, or you can walk around and allow Jesus to be on the throne of your life. He's king whether you make him king or not. I want to identify with Lord Jesus Christ, and then I want to give you a word of inspiration. The king, the keys, I'm not talking about the keys of heaven now. I'm going to get to that in a minute. The keys of kingdom authority is that we recognize that Jesus Christ is the key. That's our identification. But there's a word of inspiration here. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." By the way, that word blessed, the word means happy. Flesh and blood have not received this, did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. I love this. I've got to live this scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I'm going to tell you what God was doing here. Jesus Christ himself, he was acknowledging to Peter, "Peter, you right now, listen to me, you're on holy ground." I'm telling you something, there was an inspiration, there was a power of the Holy Spirit going on here. The Greek word there is makarios. It means to rejoice. It means to be happy. It's a wonderful thing to come to church and experience the presence of God. Look up here, folks. Whether you recognize it or not, you're on holy ground. We're here to worship the King today. I personally believe this is a holy place. I believe we ought to reverence God's house. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I just believe it ought to be a place we recognize. I want the kids to understand that this is not a play place. This is a holy place. This is an altar. People come here. They accept Christ right here. You say, well, it's not the place, it's the person. You're right. But the place reminds us of who the person is. And when you walk into this place, I don't know what you think of, but I think of Jesus. This is his place, amen? A place that we've set aside. I know it's a building, and the body of Christ is right now together in this building, but I'm here to tell you, friend, that this is holy ground, and we need to reverence that. Peter had stepped on holy ground in his confession of faith of who Jesus is. Peter would experience holy ground when he preached with divine inspiration and all authority on the day of Pentecost. How is it that Peter, who was such a wimp, I mean, he was always sticking his foot in his mouth. In fact, he had both feet in his mouth. I don't know how Peter ever walked. I mean, he was always sticking his feet in his mouth. Jesus even told him one time, called him a devil and said, "Get behind me, Satan." He told Peter that. Peter denied the Lord three times, but now we're going to go from holy ground to Holy Ghost because he said, "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you." What happened on the day of Pentecost was that Peter stood up with boldness and authority and he preached, "You crucified Christ." How could he stand there and preach with such authority? Because he had receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that when you're saved, you receive the Father, you receive the Son, and you receive the Holy Ghost. I don't believe you can separate them because there's only one God, folks. And you can't, some people say, "Oh yeah, you got to have a separate baptism of the Holy Ghost." Let me tell you something, friend. If the Holy Ghost is God, how do you separate God? You don't. There's only one God. And when you receive the Father, you receive the Son, you receive the Holy Spirit. You say, "Well, preacher, you can receive the Holy Spirit and not be filled with him." Well, the word "filled" there means to be controlled by, and the Holy Spirit wants to control you. We're talking about authority. What's the difference between Peter? Here's a man denied God. Here was a man who cursed God. Here was a man that kept sticking his feet in his mouth. But God used him mightily, even revealed this great truth here. How did it happen? It won't flesh and blood that did it. Hello? It's not your flesh and blood that God wants to anoint. He wants to anoint the person inside of you. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit inspires. 2 Peter 1:21. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." This word, you won't ever read it without the presence of the Holy Spirit. He always in attendance to the reading of his word. Third of all, holy God. He says, "But my Father," he's the one who did it, "but my Father, which is in heaven," God is holy. And in his holiness, I'm going to tell you what God does. This is another problem we have. You see, we are flesh and blood. And that's why we got to deal with our flesh. But boy, if we could ever learn to, listen, don't let me lose you. Walk in the Spirit. The spirit realm, that's where we're talking about having authority. And by the way, you may not acknowledge this, but the spirit realm is really at work in these last days. I'm talking about the satanic spirits, the demonic spirits. You don't think they're out there? Look up here, folks. All you got to do is cut on your television. Man, I'm telling you, the television, that one-eyed devil, I mean, they call it HBO. I call it Hell's Box Office. I mean, it reveals what the devil's doing. Amen? Amen? I mean, it's telling us right there. Why is it that so-and-so, you hear almost every day, someone injured this person, someone murdered this person. All the crime. Why is all that out there? Why? Because God's not holy? No, because we're not holy. And friend, listen, in America, we're in the most serious state we could ever be in. I'll tell you where America is. Look, you may not be concerned, but you better get concerned because we are walking away from God in America. And we say, "Well, God, where are you? Where were you on 9/11? He was right where he's always been. But we moved away from him. I really believe we're moving away from him again and again and again. And I'll tell you where we're moving away from him. Did you know there are more churches closing than are opening now? Spirituality is at an all-time low. But you let the bottom fall out. You let the economy collapse. You let everything fall all to pieces like 9/11. And what is it everybody wants to do? They want to go to church and pray. God's got to be thinking, "Where you been all this time?" I'll tell you where God is, right where you left him. Yeah. I'll tell you how close you are to God this morning. You're just as close to God as you want to be. Yeah. You do. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You want to get close to God? Stay in His Word. Stay in His church. I'll tell you, people are up and down all the time. We're not consistent in our walk with God. And then we get mad and say, well, where is God at? We want to blame. Listen, folks, the last person you ever want to blame is God. Oh, man, we needed a word like that today. And then I got to give you this word, interpretation. You see, there is a need here in this scripture for interpretation, so I tried to get there in a hurry. I wanted to give you this, but I do believe, and you know, if I'm wrong, you help me understand this. How can we operate with kingdom authority if we don't know the Word of God? How can we operate with kingdom authority if we don't study the Word of God? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. And let me tell you something. You're talking about a verse I'm fixing to go into right now that is so misunderstood. The Catholic Church was built upon St. Peter. Yeah, because of this verse. But Jesus was not saying anything the way it's been interpreted. We're going to get into it. All right, number one, verse 18, rock. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Now notice, even in the English here, it's got it right. Upon this rock. The Greek word for Peter is Petro. It means a little rock, a little stone. Petra is a foundational rock, which is Jesus Himself. He's the rock in which the church is built. You say, preacher, why is this so important? Because of His promise. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against My church. That's Jesus speaking. Not Peter's church. This is not what He's saying here. If Jesus meant He was going to build His church on Peter, He would have said, upon thee will I build My church. But Jesus said, upon this rock I will build My church. What is He saying, this rock? He's referring to the confession of faith that Peter made, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Jesus is referring to. That's why in interpretation, you've always got to understand context. And anything that's not context is pretext. Let me tell you something, folks. We must understand the Word of God, and the rock of ages is still Jesus Christ. And the rock that this church is built upon is Jesus Christ. Peter was a sinful man. Jesus never sinned. And you can't build a holy body on an unholy foundation. Jesus is the rock that this church is built upon. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build My church. Jesus is referring to Peter's identification. Peter was never meant to be the foundation which the church was built. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But then there's a responsibility. And I like using this word. Gordy uses it a lot in his discipleship class. There's responsibility. We often talk about rights and responsibility. But he says, I will build My church. Now, number one, I want you to get to, this is twofold now. Jesus takes the responsibility of building and growing His church. And when He builds, no man, no demon, no devil can destroy His church. You don't have the authority. You can't overcome Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, we'll. And by the way, there are religions that want to do away with Christianity. The Muslims see America as the big Satan. And their desire is to cancel Christianity out. That's their goal. But Jesus said, there's no way you can destroy My church. Oh, they destroyed the body of Jesus on the cross, but in 3 days He got up again. Amen? And that's why we're here today, worshiping. Now, when he says no man, no demon, no devil can destroy it, we are responsible for something else here. That's His responsibility. By the way, it's His church. He knows how to build it and grow it. Are y'all listening to me? I'm afraid sometimes we know more than He knows. Oh, we keep coming up with our gadgets and our gimmicks, thinking somehow we know more than God knows on how to grow His church. Jesus knows what He's doing in building the church. Let Him build it. Amen? He may build it in a way that you and I would never understand. Sometimes we think numbers is all about building. Be careful when you start focusing on numbers. You better be focused on the one building the church. And by the way, it goes both ways. I get offended at this. This is one of my pet peeves. People say, well, where two or three are gathered in His name, He's in the midst of them. And we focus more on the absence of people more than the presence of God. You got to be careful of that. Well, preacher, I'm afraid our church is going to become a mega church. With that attitude, it never will. You say, well, I don't want to be a part of a mega church. Well, now, God's not called every church to be a mega church. He's not called every pastor to be a mega pastor. I'm not called to be a mega pastor or I'd be there. I'm content wherever God puts me. How about you? Amen. And however God wants to grow His church, look up here. It's not my business and it's not your business. That's His business. He says, I will build my church. I will grow my church. He says, I take the responsibility. Here's your responsibility, church, that you understand who I am and you rightly divide the word of truth. Our responsibility is that we understand what God's given us His word in His word to do. You don't determine what truth is. God determines what truth is. You're responsible to rightly divide truth. You cannot be over, I said last week, until you're under. We're going to talk about the authority of Scripture eventually. And I'm going to tell you, we need to be under the authority of the Word of God. And then, third of all, revelation. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter was an agent of divine revelation. The Greek word for gates here is council. Here's what it means. The meaning of council is the unseen will not overcome the church. The revelation is that God has given His church authority over the gates of hell. No devil can overcome the King and His kingdom church. The revelation is this. Jesus said, about His church, the gates of hell. Listen, we see how the devil comes against the church, how he works against the church, how he tries to destroy the church. But I'm telling you, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And our God rules and our God reigns. And even the devil don't have power over Jesus. And that's why we need to operate in kingdom authority in Jesus' name. Because if we don't, listen, church, if we don't stand for kingdom authority, then we'll be lying in the devil's kingdom darkness. Even as a church, we can bow down. And you see that in churches sometimes where there's envy, strife, and discord, where people can't love each other and they can't get along. My first thought is that's not God's church. That's the devil's church because people are acting like the devil. The revelation is this. Jesus said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And last of all, and it's just fixing to get good. Hold on. There's an invitation. Now we're going to talk about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You see where he says that in verse 19, and I will give unto thee. Now he is saying, he did say before he said upon this rock, the confession that Peter made, I will build my church. This rock being the Lord Jesus Christ. This rock being the confession of faith that you made. But the invitation is this in verse 19, and I will give unto thee, he's speaking to Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now I want to be crystal clear here. I wanted this to be the last one, and I wish everybody was here today to hear this, because I want, and by the way, this pastor recognizes I'm on holy ground right now. Okay, with what I'm about to teach you. I got to answer to God, and I want you to hear what I've got to say. I want to be crystal clear with what I'm saying here. We don't give the God of heaven permission to do anything, no more than we can give the Holy Spirit permission to move in our services. You don't have that right. I don't have that right. I've heard people pray, God, we give you permission. You got to be kidding me. You don't tell God what to do. He tells you what to do. Hello? He's king. You're not. Well, we give the Holy Spirit permission to move here today. Folks, you don't control the Holy Spirit. He controls you. You say, well, Preacher Ronnie, and by the way, if we could control the Holy Spirit, then you say, well, Preacher, now we can quench and we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Yes, you can. But you don't tell the third person of the Trinity how to operate. He's God. Are y'all following me? Here's the invitation. I want you to understand this, that we are privileged and honored. I'll tell you what I think of when I come here. I'm just joining with God's work. I don't tell God how to build his church. It's his church. I don't tell him what his word means. He tells me. Hello? You better be careful here, church, because that's what he's talking about here. You don't control the Holy Spirit. He controls you. He's God. He's not your errand boy. He's not your water boy. The keys to the kingdom are faith and atonement. And we put our faith in the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We walk by faith and not by sight. We understand that because of his finished work on Calvary's cross, that we are covered by his blood, the blood covenant of his atonement. And I'm telling you something, you are covered under the blood of Jesus today. And it's because of that precious royal blood that you and I can learn to operate in kingdom authority. He said, all right, preacher, teach us how. Number one, look what he says in verse 19, I will. He says, and I will. One of the keys of the kingdom is faith in the will of the King and his word, his doctrine. It is God's will that we operate with kingdom authority. We have the keys of the kingdom of heaven in our hands by the will of God. What do I mean by that? That God has given us the authority to proclaim his name. We can speak the name of Jesus. We can invite people to Christ. We are under that authority, under the authority of faith and atonement, of his finished work, all because of what Jesus did. He's the key, not Peter. Jesus is the reason we're here today. And by the will of God, it is God's will that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that we operate with authority. We have the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and I believe it all in my heart, what God was saying to Peter. Peter, I'm giving you some freedom. Whatever's going to be loosed in heaven is going to be loosed on earth. Whatever's going to be bound in heaven is going to be bound in heaven. You say, well, what are you saying there? Well, Let's deal with this a minute. The authority that you and I can walk in is the same authority that God was giving Peter. Peter was given the door of faith open, just like God gave Paul a door of faith open to the Gentiles. God gave Peter a door open to the Jews. He says, second of all, and we're going to get into that, it's because of my word. He said, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Another key of the kingdom is the authority that we have by the word of God to operate with faith and the atoning work of God. Peter was given the privilege of opening the door of faith to the Jews at Pentecost, Acts 2, to the Samaritans in Acts 8:14, and to the Gentiles in Acts 10. Paul had the privilege of opening the door to the Gentiles outside of Palestine, according to Acts 14:27. How is the door of faith opened up? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter got up at Pentecost, and he preached the word of God, and 3,000 souls were saved. Was that because the church was built upon Peter? No, because the church was built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter preached the word. The word of God is the power of God unto salvation. So the keys of the kingdom are God's gift to his people to state heaven's verdict on what his will, who he is, and who he, what his will is, and what he will and will not do to enter the kingdom based on the atoning work of Christ. In other words, here's what I'm saying. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And we have the authority to preach in Jesus' name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Demons and devils have to flee at the name of Jesus. You need to learn to speak with authority the Word of God. The Word of God. You know, it's interesting. When Jesus preached, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the people said this about Jesus. He speaks as one of authority, like we've never heard. That was a slap in the face to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the religious people, the Sadducees. This man speaks. He speaks with authority. How can you and I speak with authority? You speak the word of God. Yeah. At the word of God, Satan had to flee. What did Jesus do when he was tempted by Satan? He just quoted scripture. Are y'all listening to me this morning? There's power in the word of God. We've been given the word of God. By faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we're to operate with these keys of the kingdom, I'm saying the keys of the kingdom of heaven is faith and atonement, then we've got to know the word of God. We've got to speak the word of God. The Bible's not a club, it's a sword. The Bible is one of the keys that unlocks the gospel doors to salvation, for the word of God is the power of God to salvation. And then last of all, we are privileged to be a part of this work. Here's the invitation. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God invites us to join him in his work on earth and in heaven. It is an invitation to kingdom authority. What right does a cop have to pull you? I mean, think about a cop. I'm trying to bring this into focus. How many of you have ever been pulled by blue lights? Yeah. Oh, man. Whoa. Oh, got a lot of lawbreakers here. Thank God for grace. Amen. Wow. Huh. I'm trying to think. By the grace of God, I've been pulled one time. And it won't for speeding. Truth is, I deserve... I won't speed, but I deserve to be pulled for speeding. What right does the cop have to flash his blue lights and pull you over? Now, you can keep going, which will result in a chase that may result in your death. Cops have authority. When a policeman knocks on your door and says, "Open in the name of the law," we open. Why? He has authority. Behind the police is the city. Behind the city cop, I mean, you're on a chase, he would be calling his buddies in. You got a city cop in hot pursuit of you. He calls the sheriff's deputies. Next thing you got, not only the local sheriff's department's after you, not only the local cops after you, now you got the whole highway patrol after you. And behind the highway patrol, this thing really got big, they could call the National Guard, amen? And behind the National Guard, they could call the whole U.S. Army. They could call the Navy, the Marines, and the Air Force. You say, "Wait a minute, preacher, you've carried this too far." But did you know that's the authority behind that cop? Yeah, he has all of those guys backing him up. And then you got the law of the land. And if you break the law, guess what happens? You can get a ticket. And that cop pulls you over. Many of you have been there, so I don't need to elaborate on that. He writes you up a ticket, and you end up having to go to court. Now, I'm going somewhere. You go to court. And who do you stand before? The judge. Now, I got something to tell you. Everybody here, whether you like it or not, and I know we're about to give this invitation, and some of you are more interested in going home than you are hearing what I got to say. But everybody in here is going to stand before the judge one day. Everybody here. You say, "Christians?" Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That he is Lord. We all have to answer to God. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. And Jesus says, "I love Jonathan Creel. I died for Jonathan. I'm going to pay his ticket. I'm going to pay the price that he owes you, Judge." Jesus, in his marvelous, wonderful love, mercy, and grace, says, "Jonathan Crib, you're a child of the King. You are forgiven." Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Aren't you thankful for mercy and grace and forgiveness? The fact is, and we miss this a lot in the church, the judge is still the judge. And the law still stands. Somehow, and I think people are confused today into thinking, "Well, I can get by with my sin." No, you don't. "Well, I got a God who will forgive me." You know what you've just done? You've made Jesus, and he's not, your errand boy and your water boy. He don't just forgive you. Friend, I'm going to tell you something that we all have got to do, and this is the invitation. God wants to do a work right here now in this altar, but we got to own up to our sin. We got to say, "I've sinned." You can't get saved until you know you've sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? You want to see God do a work in your life as a Christian. You are saved. You want to see God's works done through you. You want to be able to pray in spiritual authority. Then I'm going to tell you what you need to do today, Christian. Listen to me carefully. You need to fully surrender yourself, because I'm telling you, and I'm telling you right on the authority of this book, I believe kingdom authority is all about surrender. And when you surrender your life under the lordship of Jesus Christ, look out, Christian, look up here. Look out, Christian, look out, look out. Great works and greater works than these will you do, because I go to the Father. That's what he said, didn't he? He said, you will do greater works because I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to be praying for you, Christian friend. I'm telling you something, folks. We have authority in Jesus' name. Authority over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in Christ, we have incredible authority. Why? Because we're united with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. It's all because of faith and his atoning work on Calvary's cross that I can stand here and boldly proclaim today the keys of the kingdom of heaven is by faith in the atonement. That's the secret. It's not some man named Peter. No, it's God who will not get your permission for nothing. You submit to him as king. And you never, ever say, God, I give you permission to work in my life. No, no, you surrender your life. You throw up the white flag. God, I'm yours. He's not waiting for your permission. He's waiting for your obedience. He wants you to bow down before him right now and say, Lord Jesus, you're Lord. But folks, let me tell you, look up here. When you bow down, you can look up and know that God's going to give you everything you need to live in victory. Amen. Satan is a defeated foe. Jesus is Lord of all. Let's surrender our all in all to him. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. You don't know Christ as your Savior today. I invite you right now. Step number one, say this. In your heart, I'm a sinner. Thank God that God, the Holy Spirit, will send the blue lights of the Holy Spirit to flash in your life. And those lights are flashing right now. Someone here today, maybe. Can you see the light of the Lord Jesus shining in your heart saying, yes, you are a sinner. But here's Jesus. And he approaches the judge. And he says, I died for that sinner. I'll pay his sin debt. And the judge says, anything for you, son, anything for you. And Jesus is the one. He's the key to the kingdom of heaven. He holds the keys today. Let him unlock that heart of yours today. Let the Holy Spirit of God, those blue lights from heaven, shine on you. And surrender your life to Christ today. Father, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're standing on holy ground right now. As we stand to our feet and we sing this song, I pray that we'll do it with all of our hearts. We'll sing it, not just with words, but with all of our heart, that you are our all in all. You're everything. You're not an errand boy. You're not a water boy. We don't give you permission. We bow down to your sovereign will. You are sovereign God. You are in control of all things. Holy Spirit, you're already here today. We don't give you permission. We bow down to you. We humbly submit to your will and your way. Holy Spirit, is my prayer that you would work in our lives today. May we not quench or grieve your spirit. Thank you for your presence here today. May we give you the worship right now. May we bow down so that, God, you can help this church operate with spiritual authority over demons and devils that's working in our land over time. Right now, Jesus, would you just be Lord in this place in our lives? In Jesus' name I pray.